I got injured on the job last week, working a forklift at a local Amazon warehouse, and I've had a lot of spare time recently, which typically leads to some bad decision-making online or getting drunk, or a mix of both. This time, it was definitely the latter, because my boyfriend texted me and told me that he wanted to see other people. Like an idiot, I told him I was all right with that. So there I was, sitting in bed, wearing just my PJs, feeling sorry for myself, browsing Facebook, when an advertisement popped up for one of those stupid personality tests. Honestly, half of the time, I ignore those things, but my brain was already fizzling out, so I clicked on it. A dazzling display, with people pretending to have been excited about their results, popped up along with my first question. What do you wish you could have done differently with your life? I'm not sure why, but that seemed to jar me awake a little. Maybe because most of the quizzes out there never really go deep into topics like this. I typed out my response. I wish I had better choice in men. Not exactly the most well-thought answer, but whatever. Immediately, a small progress bar went across the screen, and I was given my second prompt. In your opinion, do people usually get what is coming to them? Sure. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Probably still stuck in this dead-end apartment. Have you ever wanted to commit a crime? That one gave me a pause. What a weird question. It occurred to me that the quiz hadn't said what this information was supposed to be for, but I was already 40% done, so I just typed in what I figured that the quiz wanted. Of course, who doesn't? If given the chance to commit a crime without being caught, would you? This was starting to creep me out a lot, but I pressed on with a yes response. I was only 55% done with the quiz, but after that response, it automatically redirected me to a new website, which reminded me of those typical dating sites with the profile picture of a handsome-looking 30-something man with 30 blonde hair and hazel eyes. His name was Victor. No last name given. He had a nice smile, and according to the site, he lived within 13 miles of me. I felt a little confident about myself, because the website also said that Victor's profile matched my responses, and if I wanted to meet up, I simply needed to send a request to him. I clicked yes, before even checking anything else on the page, and the whole site disappeared. Honestly, I thought that was going to be the end of it. Just a waste of 20 minutes online that would likely only result in me getting even more spam mail than I already did. The next day, though, I was surprised to find that someone had left flowers at the front lobby of the apartment complex for me. "Miss Bethany, it seems you have a secret admirer," the receptionist told me. They were tulips, my favorite. I blushed, thinking of the sight and Victor, and automatically assuming it had to be him. I took the flowers and made my way to work, trying to make up in my mind whether I should pursue this bizarre connection any further. I've never really tried online dating, to be honest. A few of my friends have, with relative success. But something about this felt very different. I got that same vibe around lunch when I went to Starbucks to grab a latte. I was checking my phone, messaging my ex, and telling him what a douchebag he was when I got a text from an anonymous user on Facebook. "You can definitely do better." I froze, and felt this uneasy need to look around. Was someone watching me? It certainly felt like it. I typed out a guess that this was Victor. "Apologies for the smoke and mirrors. When we matched last night, I took the time to look up everything about you. You fascinate me, Bethany," he said. "Thanks. You seem nice. Why don't we just meet in person?" I suggested. "Not yet. I need to know more about you first." That was a strange response, but I didn't pry. Instead, I told him that I got off work at 4:30, and maybe we could continue the conversation from there. Victor said that would be fine, and I felt pleased that I seemed to have found a decent guy that wasn't constantly needing my attention. When I clocked out, I took the initiative and sent a message first. "So, you said you wanted to know more about me? I'm an open book." I expected I wouldn't hear back immediately, but it seemed according to Facebook, Victor had already been online this entire time. "You claimed on the survey you wouldn't mind if you got away with crime. Would it matter if I actually meant that statement?" That definitely made me feel a strange vibe, but I didn't want to judge him before I got to know him. I'm sure we all make mistakes. There weren't any mistakes. Okay, so he was confident. That wasn't a bad thing, right? I decided to try and get flirty. If you are so good at being bad, maybe you can show me sometime. Maybe I will tonight. I didn't know if I felt safe letting a stranger into my house that fast, so I suggested that we meet somewhere public at first. I don't like crowds. He seemed determined to get me alone, and I've been in weird situations like that before, so I just decided to decline. No thanks, but I appreciate your interest. Maybe if we get to know one another better first. I figured that would be a nice way to let him down easy. I was walking down the street, not really paying attention to where I was going when he texted his response. I don't take no for an answer, Bethany. Then I heard the blare of a truck horn. I looked up and saw a diesel barreling toward me. I saw my life flash before my eyes. Somehow I managed to grab at a street post and pull myself back toward the sidewalk. As the 18-wheeler shrieked by, it didn't even sound like the driver was trying to hit his brakes. As I stood there and felt my heart begin pound out of my chest, when a text came from Victor, "Are you all right?" Followed with a more dangerous message, "This is what happens when you don't listen to me." I felt a chill run down my spine. Was he the driver that had just tried to kill me? Was he watching me somewhere from the shadows? I immediately raced home, not feeling safe anywhere else. As I went, I kept getting notifications from Victor, but I ignored them all. As I got into the apartment lobby and ran to tell the receptionist not to let anyone in the building. Then I saw the trail of blood. I ran up to the desk and saw that it looked like the woman's face had been completely mutilated by a razor blade. I dared to look at my phone and the messages from Victor. "You can run, but you can't hide. I know where you are going, Bethany. You belong to me now. Nothing will stop us from being together. If I can't have you, no one can." And then I submitted a response. "What do you want from me?" And this time I heard a voice behind me.
"Your soul."
I turned to see a man standing there, wearing what looked like a black double-breasted suit and carrying a massive scythe, the likes of which I can only compare to the Grim Reaper. "What are you?"
"Some call me an angel of death. For you, I'm merely a ferryman to the other side. I will guide you to where you are meant to go. But I'm not ready to die. The test wouldn't have matched you with me if you still had time left on this earth. There must be something that made you feel you didn't belong here on Earth."
I couldn't help but hold back tears. I wasn't sure any kind of explanation would help, but I told the Reaper everything. How I was just lost and alone and constantly felt betrayed by people around me. "Maybe I don't deserve to live. I don't know," I said at last. To my surprise, a burst of light enveloped him and me. And I was sitting back in my bed, and it was the day before, like it had never happened. Had I simply dreamed it all up? No. I got a result from that personality quiz on my laptop. A simple but concise message from the dark beyond. "Your crime was living without understanding that your life has meaning. You have seen now that you matter to yourself, and that is the most precious gift of all. Do not waste it." I closed down the site and shook away the cold sweat. I don't know what I lived through or why the Angel of Death took such an interest in me, but from now on, I'm living each day like I'm being watched, and to the fullest. Thanks for listening. If you are interested in getting access to 4 extra bonus episodes every month, be sure to check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/drnosleep. There, I will be posting a bonus episode every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. For only $5 a month, you will get access to all my bonus episodes, including access to insane discounts on all Dr. No Sleep merchandise. You will also be directly helping support the podcast, since I currently have very minimal outside funding. That's patreon.com/drnosleep. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thanks for listening. If you're tuning in on Apple Podcast, please take a minute to leave a review. Your review directly helps the podcast grow and allows me to continue coming out with the best horror stories on the internet. Thank you so much.